what was it that made you understand that those two things were what you were made to do?
When you can't sleep, when you have a burning passion to do something, when you feel that it is something that you have to pour your heart into 110%, where you feel that even if you fail and there was a reason for it because you're going to learn and become better because of it tomorrow. When everything that you do, whether it be good or bad, gives you that sense of fulfillment. For a lot of people, when they discover their purpose or they discover what they're supposed to be doing, for a lot of people, I hear them say, it's the first time that I've really been happy. And that spills over then into their family life and then everything else that they're doing. With kids that I teach fencing, I mean, I have parents bring me kids that, for lack of a better term, have two left feet, two left hands. And they failed at every other type of sport and activity. But because of the sport of fencing, they have to learn how to do everything slowly, one step after another. And for a lot of the kids, it's the first time that they have got that light bulb, that sense of enlightenment of this is a sport that I can excel at and I can be successful at. And just seeing the change that it has in the other aspects in their life, in interacting with other kids at school, you know, respecting authority, dealing with their parents, they basically reach the point where it clicks and they get it. And having that feeling, I mean, someone can write you a check for $1 million, but all that is paper. You're not really adding anything to the community. You're not really contributing to somebody's life. So for me, having that feeling, that was like, this is really my calling. And spending 4 years with the Friars at Siena and talking to them and explaining to them, hey, I have this feeling about this is what I'm supposed to do. And having them as mentors that would be like, well, then that's your calling. They would explain to me, they had had their calling and going into the church. They're like, everybody has their calling. And they had explained to me that a lot of people, their frustration in life is they just haven't figured out what their calling is yet. Some people have a calling to be a school teacher. Some people have a calling to be a policeman or work in the military. You could have a calling to be, say, a janitor, but that doesn't mean that you have to be unsuccessful. I mean, it's like, okay, if your calling is to be a janitor, maybe that you own a janitor company. Maybe you're the person that founds the company called Molly Maids. Mm-hmm. Maybe you find something that enables then other people to do and foster that. My stuff that I do with F3, the workout group in the morning, that's all about finding what you're passionate about and then leading within your community. So,
You ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire?
Yes.
All right. There's a line in that. There's a scene in there where Eric Little, the guy who plays Eric Little, is having a debate with his sister, Jenny. Mm-hmm. And Jenny is berating him because he's delaying his return to China as a missionary in order to run in the Olympics. And in the movie, whether or not the real Eric Little ever said it, I don't know, but the movie line perfectly articulates, I think, what you just said. He looked at Jenny and said, Jenny, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I think what you just described with when somebody finds their calling, they can actually internally, innately feel that they're pleasing God with what they're doing. And as a result of that, he in return lifts the cloud of doubt, lifts the cloud of worry and fear because people know they're doing what they were made to do. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. I have many months where, you know, I joke around, and I used to joke around with the Friars when, you know, I felt that this was my calling to teach fencing. We would joke around. I would say, my calling is to teach fencing. Unfortunately, I live in a country where that is not an industry. So
that's true.
They looked at me and said, well, it's a good thing you're getting an accounting degree because we'll give you the tools to go out and be an entrepreneur and find that industry and create it. When I opened the fencing school in Florida back in 1992, I found out that I was the first independent facility in the state of Florida, and there was about 5 independent facilities in the entire United States. There was a lot of stuff at college campuses, in a YMCA, park and recs department. But having a place that was like an independent facility where you could go to like a karate dojo did not exist.
What fears did you have to overcome in order to do that?
The fear of being wrong. The fear of letting somebody down. A lot of things that I think keep people back from doing what they truly feel passionate about, what they think is their calling. I think society today, a lot of the times, puts too many judgmental things in someone's way, too many obstacles to tell you not to go forth and try it, not to take a risk, not to have faith. And if you don't have that faith, then a lot of the big jumps that sometimes you have to take, I mean, I deal in recruiting. I mean, I have guys that tell me, you know, my real passion is I want to be a school teacher. But that means that, say, in the state of South Carolina, they're leaving a job that pays them over $100,000 for one that would possibly pay them $20,000 or $30,000. But if their calling and their passion is to teach people and not, say, be a bean counter in a little cubicle, society has said to them, okay, well, you need to earn a lot of money in order to be fulfilled or to be a good provider. I would buck that and say, no, you need to find your purpose, what makes you happy. Friars were always fond of telling me, better to make a life worth living than just make a life to make a living.
Absolutely. Have you ever read a book called 30 Lessons for Living by Carl Pilmer?
No.
Came out a few years ago. It's a great read. 5-year research project. He's a PhD. I forget what his actual title is, but he's a researcher. And basically, he and his staff interviewed 1,000 senior citizens ages 65 to 100. And the number one lesson out of all 30 lessons that they mentioned was this. Don't get stuck in a job that you hate. It's roughly 2,000 hours a year of irretrievable time that you're wasting if you're miserable. And what you just said is perfect. I mean, God wants us to do what He created us to do.
Mm-hmm.
If He wants us to have wealth in that, He'll give it to us. He is the source of all wealth. But that shouldn't, you know, whether or not we make a lot of money, whose idea is that? That's not God's, that's the world's.
Right.
And you just hit the nail on the head that that's not the way we were designed. We're supposed to do it His way, and that's where the inner peace comes from. As you've taken your personal lessons from building your chain of schools for fencing and the lessons you've learned also in your years as a recruiter, how do you use those two sets of experiences to help people find their passion and go about securing work in the field for which God created them?
A lot of the times it's kind of marrying in talking to the people who come and approach people at the Kidder Group as far as wanting to make a change. It's sometimes making that connection to, you know, I teach kids, teenagers, on a daily basis, and those teenagers feel that they can conquer the world, that they can do anything. And then reminding the people that come and interview with me who might have been in a job for 10, 15, or 20 years that was who they were one day and that what they're stuck in now or why they're unhappy, they have the ability to change. They just have to figure out what they want to change to do. Or if they're happy in that job but don't like the role that they're in, that it's up to them, okay, and that they are empowered to do that. And all I'm trying to do is facilitate to find where they want to do that role or that job with. So that kind of allows me to marry the two, is to basically take somebody who is kind of at a crossroads and make them realize that, okay, it's a crossroads and it's a path and that they have to figure out which path they want to take. And even though they have possibly gone down a wrong path with their career for 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, it doesn't matter. Stop, turn around, go back to the beginning, start going down a new path. Because no matter how far you go down the wrong path, it's still the wrong path. Doesn't matter if you go down another mile. Doesn't matter if you go 20 miles. Doesn't matter if it's another year or another assignment or another annual review. Turn around, do what you want to do or what you're supposed to do and follow that path. And the minute you start going down there, the accelerated rate at which you go down there, sometimes you realize how many skills that you might have that you have developed in a role that you're not supposed to be doing. That when you find the role that you're supposed to be doing, how quickly you can succeed and be rewarded for that by using those same skills.